Welcome to the Promises of the Constitution podcast.
Hello, this is Pamela Romney Openshaw here with Promises of the Constitution today to talk to you about the concept of equality and welfare. The title of our workshop is Equality and Welfare, What's Fair and What Isn't Fair? I began our last podcast, as we talked about other matters, saying there's a lot of noise about this topic, and I'm going to repeat that again today because there is a lot of noise going on the concept of equality. Let me ask you a question. Is the government responsible to make things fair for you and to give you the things that you want to have? Let me answer that question. It's no. The government is not responsible for answering your needs and giving you the things that you want. Who is responsible for you? You are. Who's responsible for your family? The parents are. That's probably you. We have the Constitution of the United States that was written to assure us the right to meet our needs and to have our duties met. We wrote and ratified that Constitution in order to help keep each of us safe. Go with me to the preamble to the Constitution of the United States and listen to what our founding fathers had to say about this entire concept of equality when they said, "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, to create the best system of union that we knew how to create, in order to establish justice so that all of us have the same rights and the same protections, to ensure domestic tranquility, so that we live in a world where society is safe and therefore our homes can be safe, to provide for the common defense." Now, that's a government responsibility. "To promote the general welfare by creating an environment where the general welfare can prosper, and to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity." And then the preamble goes on to state that the founders did ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. What a beautiful document that is, in order to secure for us our rights and our liberties. So it is you, then, that is responsible to provide for your health and well-being, to provide for your commerce, what you buy, what you sell, what you do in terms of a business. It is you that is responsible to provide for your transportation needs, you that's responsible to provide for the education of your children. It is not a federal government responsibility to educate your children. That is a great miscarriage of justice. It is not the responsibility of the government to provide for your retirement or even to secure it. And it is not the responsibility of government to give you this grand concept of equality that people have drafted that means that everybody gets everything they want and gets to do everything that they want to do. The function of the government is to act as an umbrella suspended over us, suspended over our entire culture, to protect us, to secure our rights, and to require us to perform our duties, and then underneath that umbrella to leave us free. This is how it works in government. If you get it right, you get it right. If you get it wrong, you're on welfare. That is not our objective in the United States of America. We are equal entities. God loves us. Government, by choice, does its very best. But it's people doing their best to get along. And sometimes things don't go very well. Sometimes individuals get mistreated, or they're persecuted, or they're ignored. In fact, if we look at the groups of people that have been persecuted during the history of the United States of America, the list gets to be pretty long. There was a period when the Irish were very poorly treated, when the Orientals were very poorly treated. There have been times when religions have been persecuted. The Catholics have been persecuted. The Baptists, the Mormons, they have all been persecuted. There have been times when women have been persecuted and times when blacks have been persecuted. These are all things that happen during a period of creating a government and moving it forward. So what it is our responsibility to do is to get past these points, to perceive that we're doing it wrong, to correct it as best we can, to find the obstacles, to work around them, and to move on to create our government. So what then is the role of government? Its responsibility is to make things as equal as possible, to create a safety net for all of us so that each of us can work and learn and grow and begin to increase the things that we own and begin to increase our own peace of mind and our own security. And so the government is responsible to assure and protect our rights and to require us to do our duties, as I said a moment ago. What is your part in that? It is your part to buy and to sell, to try and to fail. And if you fail, you adjust and you try again. It is the responsibility of government to allow you the space to do that succeeding and failing so that it becomes your thing, your right. This is what you have chosen to do with your life. So if we take a look at what true government is, it really is equality. It's the creating of a government that allows you to do this trying and to fail, and then to turn around and try again. So in order to be able to accomplish this, you need some things. You need to be able to own property and to add to your property. You need to have a sound money system. We've messed that up pretty badly. We've got outside entities that are stepping in and controlling our economy, and that's a problem. But we do still have some security and stability with our money system. We need to have rules that are set and that hold for all groups of people. And we need to have the opportunity that we can work and provide for ourselves. We need a government that functions in a way that allows us our freedom. And that's what we have. We have a legislature that allows us to make laws, an executive that assures that those laws will be protected, and we have a judicial system that requires us to abide by our Constitution of the United States. And we have checks and balances that are put in place to turn those three entities of power so that they are all working a little bit against each other, each one of them a little jealous of their own tendencies and capabilities and protective of the things that they're doing, and that helps keep us in balance and keeps us stable. And so this gives us protection and it gives us boundaries to operate under. Whether we're a part of the majority, whether we're a part of the minority, we have the right to learn and to grow, to obtain, to work, to speak, to go for our rights. And our cities, our counties, and our states help to protect us and help us to create this equality and then be able to live under that equality. So let's talk about how it is that you actually lose freedom, because government can be very involved in taking away our freedom. If government gets involved in giving and taking away, it has to take from those who have in order to give to those who have not. And immediately we end up in a real problem there, because government is taking away our freedom and it's actually enslaving us. And this process makes us become dependent and it makes us become helpless. A couple of weeks ago in one of our podcasts, I read some information to you from a great patriot named H. Verlin Anderson. His personal journal has just recently been released. He had some things to say that tie very directly into this topic. I want to go back and repeat some of that information for you, because I want you to think about what happens when government tries to create equality and ends up giving us a welfare system in place of it. So here is Verlin Anderson. When the people commence to look to the federal government for their support and don't receive what they feel they are entitled to, they strike out against government. The recipients are not grateful for what they are receiving. They are angry because it isn't more. When government supplies his wants, man no longer relies upon his own brains and body. The more he is pampered, the more he demands. He no longer regards it as necessary to conserve, to limit his desires, or to provide for the future. That is what happens when we put the government in charge of giving us the things that we think that we are entitled to have. Years ago, I read a very interesting book by a college professor named Marvin Olasky, and the name of the book was The Tragedy of American Compassion. It was a very influential book for me, because up to that point in time, I had bought into the concept that if the government doesn't take care of the poor and the needy, nobody is going to take care of them. And yet Olasky had done some beautiful work to establish who used to take care of the poor, the widows, the orphans, back in the early days before government took this over. And this is what I learned from reading that book. I learned that churches, that individuals and families, and that groups were established in order to help the poor. In fact, the greatest book ever brought into play in our Western society is the Bible, and it is the Bible that gives us the responsibility to take care of the widows and the poor and the orphans, because the Bible says to us that we as workers are to give to those who are willing to receive our work and who are willing to work to earn those goods. And so what the Bible teaches us is that you're responsible to work, and if you're willing to work, you deserve to eat. We have this principle called the little red hen. Used to love that story, used to tell it to our children all the time. The little red hen said over and over again, "Who will help me plant the wheat, harvest the wheat, grind the wheat, make the bread?" And no one was willing to help. But when she finally had the bread ready, then everybody was willing to help her eat the bread. And the little red hen said, "No, I was the one who planted, harvested, ground the grain, and made the bread, and I am the one who will eat the bread." And so what I learned from reading this Olasky book is that we have a responsibility to help the poor, the orphans, and the widows. That is the responsibility that God has given to us. But it is a sin for us to give to those who are unwilling to work for their own efforts. It is our responsibility to help those who need to be helped, who want to be helped, and who are willing to give in order to receive that help. But it is not our responsibility to allow the federal government to step in and take large amounts of our property and dole it out as it chooses to do for anybody that appears to be in need of something. In fact, one of the very interesting statistics I've learned is that of the amount of money collected today in our government, 90% of that collected to be used for welfare gets frittered away on excess things, and only 10% of the money that is collected actually goes to those who really need what they receive. A great many people are receiving welfare benefits who don't deserve to have those benefits, who are not grateful to have received those benefits, and who are not doing positive things with the benefits that they receive. So this is what I learned from reading this book called The Tragedy of American Compassion. I learned that there were thousands of groups, thousands of organizations in every one of the major cities in the United States of America, individuals who were dedicating their time, their efforts, their resources in order to help those who were in need of help. Was it a perfect system? No. There are no perfect systems. We all of us have our agency. Sometimes we use our agency wisely. Sometimes we use our agency poorly. But the concept is that we have the responsibility to help others, and we have the responsibility to give where the need is great. So it is really our responsibility to create a strong America, to work, to grow, and to help others. It is our responsibility to work on the inequities that we see in our society. They will always be there among the poor. They will always be there among all people, because we aren't perfect, because things go wrong, because we can't quite accomplish the things that we want to accomplish. But the concept is that we work on these things. We try to make them better. We don't riot. We don't demand. We don't accuse. We don't storm through the streets hollering horrible names at our police forces. Those things don't accomplish anything. Those things are not really being done to try and correct inequity anyway. They're being done to try and bring about political objectives that really don't have very much to do with equality. And that's a whole new topic. We could go many directions with that. So what I want to say to you is, let's create our own strong America. Let's work. Let's grow. Let's help others. And then let's teach our children to do the same thing. Let's help them to grow up to be independent, self-functioning individuals. Let's help them develop the skills necessary to create a strong family. Help them learn to manage their money so that they can avoid debt. Help them learn how to do without and how to work to achieve the things that they want to have instead of just going out and getting everything under a debt system and then trying to figure out how to pay for it. Let's teach our children to be a blessing in the lives of others, to be blessings in the lives of the members of their own families, and blessings as our own children. And so in reality, let me just end with this. Find your own, make your own, and be your own, and teach your family to do the same. Because whether you succeed or whether you fail, it's all about you. You are the one who is responsible to make your own, find your own, and to be your own. This is what equality really is. This is what safety really is. This is what ends welfare and makes us all equal in our own fitting and gives us all the right to establish a sound and secure station of America. I pray for that. I hope that you do the same. Thank you so much for joining us here today. I hope you'll go to my website, promisesoftheconstitution.com. My book, Promises of the Constitution, in its last three sections, takes into great detail the things that we've been talking about today in this podcast. I hope you'll go to the book, purchase it, make it your own, and begin to work to turn America into a nation that is strong and stable, a nation that walks away from welfare, walks away from entitlement, and walks into a system of government that makes us secure and peaceful. Again, see you next week. Thanks so much. Bye.
To have Pamela speak to your civic or church group, please call 801-373-0240 or email openshawenterprises@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to the Promises of the Constitution podcast. Be sure to go to Pam's website, promisesoftheconstitution.com, to purchase her books, DVDs, and her online educational courses available to watch on any electronic device.